What's going on, everybody? Another nice night, another nice edition, and probably the most entertaining Thursday night destruction to ever hit the airwaves. We are calling this Black Thursday. Not in a racial way, like I've been told. People actually message me like, dude, that's I don't know, man. Might be crossing a line here. Crossing what line? I used to say that when I was a kid. I used to say, like, you know, people would come up to me and say, oh, you can't say that. You're a racist. And I'd be like, nah. I got one black friend or something like that. Or nah. I know this guy or I know that guy. So relax. It's okay. Okay, I'm ready. I'm throwing up gang signs on my Instagram. So that should probably get me shot. Maybe. I don't know. Go follow me on Instagram to find out. Dave Destruction without the E. Go follow me there. Go follow me on Twitter at DestructionPWS. Find me on Facebook under Dave Sturcio. That'd be the last name. People are like, oh, I thought it was Sturch. No, man. Come on. But as of today, I was a little bored, and I came up with – no, I wasn't bored. I was actually just got off of about almost four grueling hours of training today. I mean, I had my physical therapy at 10:30 in the morning, got out of there around 12:30, and my new trainer, a.k.a. Diva – Sal, who can't get to the gym on time, and if he's listening, he said he would listen tonight, so I know you're listening. If you're not listening, tough shit. But, you know, dude, 3 o'clock means 3 o'clock. My man shows up at 3:40, and he's like, did you warm up? I'm like, what the frick? Like, yeah, I warmed up. I don't want to be here all day. I want to get in and get out. It's fuck. Oh, well. But, yeah, great workouts this week. I am tearing that shit apart. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that I feel a lot stronger than I was prior to the injury as far as upper body strength is concerned. I'm going to get the legs right so Gibbs can get off my ass and stop calling me stick legs or tiny legs or all his little leg jokes. Always appreciated. Definitely motivating, that's for sure, because everybody wants to look like the Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs. I mean, I'll give credit where credit's due. The guy is, he's chiseled out of stone. I mean, we knew that since day one. And I was proud to call my tag team partner. I almost posted a picture. It's not too late. I'll post one later on. I was going through a couple old promos that we used to shoot. It's the promo before our 4-on-4, I believe. Yeah, it was me, Damian, Kyle Reynolds, and Devin Moore against the character team of Starman, Drunken Swashbuckler, Fala, and the Blue Meanie. My newfound friend in the business. I talk to him on the regular almost now. I'm not name-dropping. The guy's an incredible guy. He's a very nice man. Not too many guys are going to, you know, all right, I'll break it down like this. I asked the guy for a favor, okay? I'm a writer for Vicissitude Magazine. Say that freaking 5 times fast. And next week, for just a cheap plug here, for next week's show, I will bring on my friend Neem, who is the editor-in-chief of that, and also the producer of 2 movies right now going, and a producer of a movie that won multiple independent awards on the big screen, so which I will be an extra in, hopefully. I mean, it was supposed to be today. It got rescheduled, which is actually beneficial to me because I won't be able to – I'll be able to do more. You know, like I was – at first, I'm like, okay, as long as I'm sitting and I'm lifting and I'll be okay. But now maybe in a month or less and whenever the hell it comes up, I'll be able to do more. So maybe I can do more. Maybe punch somebody in the face. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, or he hasn't decided. So, yeah, we'll have him on next week. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, I'm a writer, and it's hard to come up with fresh ideas. I mean, it's always – it's good. I mean, it's easy. When I'm a writer for a fitness, okay? I'll be the first one to tell you. I know how to lift, yes. But ask me my diet, and I lose all credibility whatsoever. So that's where I need my most help. So when I do these interviews, I learn a lot. I mean, I interviewed the bikini girl from American Idol. I don't know if everybody's an American Idol fan, but yeah, I interviewed her, and she's like, well, I do this, and I do that. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't need to be bikini ready. I just need to look decent in a fucking singlet. So I'm not going that route. But no, the workouts I've been doing this week and last week are very more for my form and just making sure I'm doing it right. I haven't had a workout, quote, partner since I started the lift back in 2009 when I started this little journey as far as getting myself in better shape. I always work out alone. I'm a big loner when it comes to that. Like when the music's in my ears and I can't hear anybody and I don't want to be distracted, it's my release. But weeks, you know, the headphones are staying in the car. I'm focusing more on what he's telling me, my friend Sal. I mean, he's not the biggest of guys, but he's lean. He's cut. He knows what he's doing. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's the goal. I'm not sitting here trying to get a monstrosity of figure. I'm already 6'1 and a half, probably in the 240 range, 230. I don't know yet. I haven't weighed myself in forever. I probably won't because God forbid, but don't want to do that. But anyway, going forward, the workouts are intense. It's great. I'm having a good time doing so. And they're getting more intense by the day. I'm coming home dripping. I mean, that's a good thing. Unfortunately, my brand new truck is losing the new truck smell real quick because of my sweat, and I'm kicking a lot of ass. I mean, I can't do the cardio I want to do. You know, I want to. I mean, I was cleared yesterday to do the bike at the gym. So I know if you drive the bike long enough, you know, the stationary bike, you should be fine, and you can burn calories. I know I go on a lot of rants as far as being upset with those that don't try, but I don't get it. I mean, I see some of these people out there, and this is not a knock at anybody close to my friends or anything like that. Like, but I want you to live like long, like me. Like, I'm trying to live a long life. And before I started getting myself into shape, I was on a path of self-destruction, if no pun intended. I was bad. It was 286 pounds. I posted a picture on hashtag Transformation Tuesday this past Tuesday, and I was even amazed. I was like, holy shit, like, what was I thinking? I mean, yeah, I dated a girl who just fed me all hours of the night, which that could have been a good thing. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It was a lot of bagel bites. It was a lot of cake. It was a lot of shit. And there was no working out. And she liked me just like that. So I was, of course, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to look. This is fine. I'll jump into the pool with a shirt on. That makes sense. I still wish I could do that, you know? I used to do that once. Just short story. I've decided one time that I told one of my best friends at a party to push me into the pool with my shirt on. Like, push me, like a joke. But in reality, I was like, this is my go. Like, if I can get in the pool with my shirt on, I'll just leave it on. And like, oh, I'm already wet. Like, why should I turn it off? Or why should I take it off? So, yes, that was a little secret of the fat Dave back in the day. I'm not saying I'm skinny. I feel like a fat ass today, to be honest with you. And I didn't even eat. I did not eat one. What did I have? I had a protein shake, a scoop of something else, maybe a handful of peanuts, and one of them string cheeses. I don't know. I don't want to starve myself, but I'm also, like yesterday, I felt like a bum. I legitimately watched 8 hours of wrestling. 8 hours straight. I'm talking from the Nitro stuff on the network to the CM Punk DVD again, because, you know, it's a very cool thing to watch him come up. And then, you know, me being Mr. Mark Boyle and Brock Lesnar, I watched his DVD from like whenever the hell he was famous first in WWE. And then there's like little excerpts calling it the collector's edition because he has 4 or 5 little mini clips of him talking. So that's why they charge you extra for that shit. But yeah, that, and then I watched just bad pay-per-views just for entertainment value, and then I watched a couple other things. Yeah, it was just a cluster of network. It was just so much. But yeah, well, on top of that, I was eating, and everybody has a cheat day. I just really took advantage of yesterday. I don't know why. I'll probably do another cheat night tonight. I'm a big diner guy. My trainer, Pat Buck, is a Denny's guy. I'm a diner guy. I can go to any diner. And, you know, I've had good times at diners, so, and they always treat you nice. They're always, I mean, I know they're miserable because they're there forever. That sucks for them. I mean, that's the job they chose, but you never want to go to a diner with a person that complains about everything. Segue into, well, the reason why I'm a little ticked off right now, and not ticked off to like a bad degree to the point where I want to punch, well, I guess I do want to punch the guy in the face. My Throwback Thursday picture today was me punching a gentleman in the face known as, to you independent wrestling fans, as GMC. Or before that, he was the Marvelous One. Before that, he was a fucking joke. And now he still is a joke. So now, all right, listen, GMC, I don't give a shit if you're listening. I really don't care. I know we just spoke on the phone not too long ago. And, you know, It's one thing. All right, listen. I would kill for your spot in PWS. I know I have my own spot. I know I have, or I had, or whatever, with Big O. And before that, I was getting singles matches. I was wrestling Hacksaw. I was doing all my singles stuff when O was hurt. And I know that was my spot. Like, I was doing my thing. But here you are, because you can't wrestle in the ring, and we've seen that. And I kicked your ass in the Battle Royal the first match, and then Kevin kicked your ass in like 5 seconds. And then, like, you had like a 6-man tag, and that was it. And then you realized that you had 2 left feet in the wrestling ring. Okay, and I'm not anybody to knock anybody, because I know damn well that I have so much work to do in the wrestling ring. But this guy has 2 left feet, so you know what? We knew that his personality, I guess, quote, personality, was interesting, I guess, and funny to some. He was close, and is still close, with Kevin and Pat and guys like that. We're all close. We've all known each other now for over 2 years. So it's kind of difficult not to be close, you know? Like, if you don't, me and Pat were a lot closer back in the day, like when we first started, and then things fizzled because a couple of us, you know, PWS guys are idiots, and we had a stupid tailgate, but that's another story for another day. I'll probably talk to Ray about that tonight. Why not? It's in the past, but whatever. GMC, your attitude and your personality was funny. Therefore, they said this guy could be a mouthpiece. Therefore, you're friends with the Carinos, the Heavenly Bodies. You're friends with Francis, Fala. Let's give him a family. Let's give him the Heenan family. Let's give him an awesome spot. Okay, so you're given this spot. You get your shirts made, the GMC guy shirts. You get the Tremento family shirts made. Everything's working for you. You are over as a big-ass heel. Nobody likes you. A couple people like you. That's the goal. You had everybody hating you. So leave it up to GMC to do his own thing on his own time and fuck it all up. And I'm not going to get into detail because that's not my business, okay? But everybody, like anybody around the scene knows that that's it. 3 strikes, you're out, kiddo. Like, it's over, you're out. So, and that's one thing, and that's fine. Like, some people have been kicked out of school before, i.e. Pete Farr, because he couldn't hack it on the independent wrestling scene. Tough shit, and I'll say it right now. I know there's me and him have beef, and that's fine. I just don't like the fact that he showed up to Supercard with his girl or whatever you want to call that, you know, to the point where I was, you know, I told him, I said, okay, the fans are piling out. He's sitting there waiting for high fives. Get the fuck out of the building. You are a fan now. You broke your ankle, correct? You showed up on a wheelchair. In a wheelchair. They gave you the special guest timekeepers thing. Everybody was still your buddy. Okay? But then you couldn't show up to school anymore. You couldn't watch. You couldn't learn. Why? Because you didn't want to return to the scene where it happened. Because, oh, God, it was so catastrophic. I tore my mother effing ACL and meniscus, bro. I'm going through the most grueling rehab that I've ever done in my entire life. But I'm doing it, and I'm still showing up to the school. Maybe not as much as I'd like to. I should probably get there more, you know. But I'm showing up. I'm showing interest. I'm still promoting. I'm still showing people that September 20th is going to be a freaking monster show. I was doing that. You stopped doing that altogether. So, hey, to each his own, you suck. Stay out of my hair and stop tweeting me and stop, you got my phone number. You know who to call. Like, I'm going to waste my fucking time with you. Come on. Give me a break. I shouldn't curse a lot. I'll leave that up to my guest later on. He'll probably curse up a storm. If I had a beep button, you wouldn't be able to understand what the hell he's talking about. But anyway, back to Gerard Mark Tremento. Okay, so you lose your spot. Now, what do you do? What's the logical thing to do? In my eyes, I know I messed up. There was a time and a place, and I've said this before on the air, and I've gone on record saying that I was an idiot one night. When I got hit with the chair, when Chris Payne lit me up with the chair and I started bleeding and I was panicking like a little crybaby bitch, I cried like a schoolgirl in the back because, oh, I had a cut on my head. Meanwhile, Devin Moore cuts himself every – I don't want to give away the business, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, guys embrace that shit. I should have embraced it. Somebody said, oh, you should have embraced the crimson mask. And I was like, no, I don't want to bleed. I can't. So I acted a fool in front of a lot of legends, in front of a lot of upper guys and veterans, and Pat sat me down and said, you better knock that shit off or you're toast. And I said, I'll knock that shit off. And I never screwed up again, not once. I have been a straight shooter and just being, you know, go to class, learn, shut my mouth, promote, sell tickets. And it's not, he's not looking for a ticket pusher, but I like the support I get. I got a lot of family. I got a lot of friends. They all like to come and support me when I wrestle. So therefore, it's an easy sell. I'm going in. Like, it was good to see my boy Big Rich and my friend Travis come out, you know, and make the trip up to Belleville to see me wrestle Duggan. My whole family was there. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was there. It was great. So what do, GMC? You contact the guy that screwed over all of your boys. You contact the guy saying, I want to work for you. I'm a free agent now. And what does he do? What does Mr. Dillinger do? He promotes it as such. Oh, we've signed the hottest free agent. The hottest free agent? Come on. Come on, man. The hottest free agent right now is CM Punk. Let me know when you sign him, and we'll talk. Because right now, you've signed nobody. Rob Banner, if you're listening, you're a schmuck. You still owe people money. I know you gave money to, you know, somebody the other day, and he's supposed to distribute, and that's fine. But there's still people out there, like myself, that you owe money to. So if you want to make things right, you pay me too. And if you come back and say, brother, I don't know what you're talking about. Brother, there's two shows you didn't pay me. And I kept my mouth shut. And then you wanted me to be the commissioner, like you are inviting GMC to do. You had me do the commissioner gimmick, and I pushed people through the door. Some people only showed up because I was there. I had people, not locally to Spotswood, come down to see me be the commissioner on crutches. You didn't pay me a dime for that. So you owe me money. So until then, fuck you and fuck your stupid promotion. Because your promotion is garbage. And now without the PWS guys, you're screwed. There are guys that are credible on that show. Yes, Steve Scott. Yes, The Beast. Yes, okay. I don't know who else is. I looked at your poster. You're signing guys, you know, X-Pac, whatever. You know, like, I get it. You're doing the indie promotion thing. You're getting names to come in to sell tickets. I understand that. But now you're promoting GMC. GMC is now public enemy number one on PWS's radar. Not just PWS, but the students, your boys, okay? Eric posted that picture in our private school board about GMC being booked for Superstars of Wrestling. Give me a break. Give me a break, man. You don't deserve to be there. You don't deserve to be in a wrestling ring. You sure as hell don't deserve to be booked anywhere. Okay, there's other guys that aren't getting booked in other places, and this guy's getting work. And just about 5 minutes ago, another fake profile Facebook post by GMC saying, I'm going to be rich. We heard that shit before, GMC. We heard that shit when you went to Honda and decided that you were going to be a car salesman. And car salesmen can bank money, but not you. You're not in sales, brother. You sucked at it, and you lost that job, and now you're doing your own thing. Good luck to you. But stop promoting another company. Stop trying to work for another company. You're being stupid. Nobody likes this. Okay? But I'm not going to sit here and dwell on him. He's stupid. He's made his wrong decisions. He's done his boys dirty. And now he thinks he's going to make it all right. Well, good luck. Because as far as I'm concerned, the show that Banner's putting on in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey at the Elks Lodge, brother. And by the way, dude, I saw your video, your promo about the Tri-State title. I noticed how every promo you do, you have to point with your arm. You're trying to flex. Bro, you're like 37 years old, and you're just fat, man. You're fat. Like, you don't lift. You don't. So stop, okay? That's me shooting, brother. That's me shooting. Yeah, dude, stop. There's the ocean. I'm looking at the Wildwood Ocean, brother. Come on, stop. And on top of that, my man, on top of that, your little video says, Steve Scott held the Tri-State title for a year, and then he lost it to Sanjay Dutt, and then he lost it to, quote, another superstar. Like, you couldn't even give the credit where credit's due, man. So now I want that belt. Yeah, I want that belt. How I'm going to get that belt, you have no idea. But I want that belt. I want the Tri-State title. And I want to give it back to who deserves it, okay? As funny as that sounds, and if people think, you take me serious or not, I'm mobile. I can walk again. I can drive again, okay? Plus, if I get flyers for my September 20th show, of course I'm going to fly here a lot. I have to. You have to promote, right? So maybe I'll see you. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll send somebody else in there. Maybe I got a certain movement behind me that would love nothing more than to make sure that show is not a success. But, again, I'm not going to dwell on Banner or Dillinger or whatever you want to call yourself. I'm not going to dwell on your show and your 36 people that you're going to have there, I'm not going to do it. I think I've wasted too much time, to be honest, on that. When I got a caller, I think, on hold for 14 minutes. But I'm not done ranting, man. Come on. Got to give me a break. I know I have two awesome guests tonight. GMC, I'm not done with you yet, and we'll touch on that another time, or I'll see you in August. Anyway, two awesome guests tonight. We are calling it Black Thursday because my man, one of my good friends in the business who have taken a little bit of a hiatus from PWS with some personal stuff going on, Ruthless Ray Smith, will be joining me at around, 8:30, right? Yeah, 8:30 he'll be calling in, so a couple minutes. And then the entertainment begins because I saw all the times that you shared this or Arkham or whatever you want to call him. He shared this with the most random stuff you can even just – I don't even know how to describe it. The guy is an animal inside and outside the ring. He has a past that I'm not even familiar with, so that's why I'm bringing him on tonight. I need a little education. I need to know where this guy came from. I heard little its and bits, not from just him, but from everybody else. He's a little older than us, but honestly, if you look at the guy, he's made out of stone. Hashtag bitch. I'll be talking to him around the 9 o'clock hour. WWE stuff, whatever. Sting, I don't care. Like, whatever. No, listen, I know some people are listening that like Sting. I want to see him in a ring. If you watch the last couple TNA matches he has, nobody wants to see him in a ring anymore, man. He has to literally sit down in his Scorpion Deathlock. Pat posted a picture a long time, and I was sad for it. I was like, oh, man, I was such a Sting fan. He's out of touch now. He's getting older. So it's time to just be collect your money for the, collect your money for the video game. And that's it. That's it for you. But today, PWS, before I take this first caller, before Ray calls in, today, PWS announces another thing. And I talked to Eric today, and my God, I can't wait for some of this stuff to be announced. Holy shit. I'm not going to say it because it's just going to be that goddamn good. October, November, December. It's like, it's going to rot. I'm telling you. If we weren't, and I keep saying this, if we weren't on the map already, which I think we already are, we're going to be after this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we're on the cusp. Something, Supercard spoke for itself. I got a feeling that these shows are going to surpass it. Like, it's going to be nuts. We just booked Larry Johnson, New York Knicks and Charlotte Hornet fame power forward, Grandmama himself, for 10/31, Larry Johnson. I am one of his biggest fans. He was one of my favorite players, and I told Eric, I marked out for Jake the Snake, back in Supercard of last year. Not even when he came back and DDT the lifeguard. Nah, I'm talking about Supercard prior, when he was there for a couple minutes backstage. Took a picture with him. That's the only picture I ever took. I don't like doing that. Like, I see too many guys posing with pictures with Booker T, and I'm like, ah, fuck. I mean, how do you approach that? Like, I don't want to see him like, I'm a fan, big fan. I don't want to come off like that. You know, I want to try to be as professional as possible, but I am taking a picture with Larry Johnson. I don't give a shit. And I'm throwing up the big LJ sign, the same one he threw up when he beat the Heat with that 4-point play back in 1998. That shit was just off the chain. 98, 99. I don't know. Either way, it's whatever. So that's basically it. This week has been solid. I went out for the All-Star game. I regret it completely because me and my best friend Tommy got just too stupid. It was just a mess. That's why yesterday was so sluggish. Don't drink, people. I think I might quit drinking. I mean, not quit drinking, but like, I don't know, the whole drinking during the week. And then people are asking me to go out last night. Like, oh, come to this, come to that. Like, I got things to do. Like, and I'm not saying like, I'm looking for jobs. I'm working out and going to therapy and promoting the PWS stuff. And you know, like, I don't have time to go on a random Wednesday night to, oh, but it's really nice out. Like, I don't care. I don't care how nice it is. I don't have to go out every night. I went out Tuesday. I got home way too late. I think I was touching the 3:30, 4 o'clock area again. That's twice in like 2 weeks, and I'm not like that anymore. I don't have the energy. I do not have the energy for that shit. But anyway, done with the rant. I'll take the call. Why not? Before Ruthless Ray Smith calls, and I believe, again, he's going to be calling in the number two call, is 760-888-5749. If you want to talk to me, call her. I got to write this number down. I'm pretty sure I know who this is. What's going on?
Yo, what's up, Dave?
Oh, Steve. Right?
Yo, what's up?
Right? Hey, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, man?
Interesting rant.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I just go off on a tangent and stuff, and, you know, I just can't be shut up. So what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. So you
you're right there,
football?
Bro.
Yeah,
no,
I almost choked on some water.
No, that's good. Well, just to keep hydrated. But yeah, man, ready for football. I'm, of course, dude. I'm the biggest Dallas Cowboy fan out there. I'm the biggest football fan overall. Like,
ooh,
I can watch football.
My dad would hate your guts. My dad and my older brother would hate your guts.
What, are they Giants fans? Because we're in New York? Because that's what we have to do? Please,
no, because they were both born and raised in New York.
Well, all right. Well, I was born and raised in New Jersey. My grandfather lived out in Texas. My father started watching the Cowboys in 1960. Suck my balls, bro. I'm going to watch the. I'm going to watch my Cowboys, and I'm going to enjoy every single loss. Okay. I know we're not good. I know we don't pose a threat. I know we're not going to win the division anytime soon. And my father has said this. He said we're not going to win another Super Bowl until Jerry Jones is dead, and I believe that. Okay. Until this guy stops making the executive decisions. Like, I just, it's not going to happen, and it's unfortunate, so it is what it is. Anyway, I know I talked to you the other day. Send over that money. I'll get you that shirt. I'm looking right at the shirt, so I do have it. I will send it out to you when I can, and we'll go from there, all right?
Gotcha. Real quick, I just wanted to give you a quick hockey update, since I seem to be doing that every time I call in.
Uh-huh.
Corey Snyder, if it wasn't confirmed before that he is the Devils' number one goalie, it is now. They gave him a 7-year contract for around $40
million. Hey, remember that time Remember that time that the Devils gave a guy a 10-year, $100 million contract? Remember that time?
Yeah, don't start me on that little assault.
Yeah, well, there we go. You might want to be careful with all these years you want to guarantee these kids because who knows if they're sticking around.
What was the name? You will probably know this better than me because I'm not a Rangers fan, but which Ranger got traded to Tampa Bay for Marty St. Louis?
Ryan Callahan.
Okay, well, he wouldn't sign a new contract with the Rangers, so that was why he got traded for the most part. And he took a contract with Tampa for, I think they said around half the money that New York was offering him.
Well, we need it. That was a lot to do with Marty St. Louis. Okay, he wanted to be a Ranger. Callahan didn't want to resign, so it's easy. It's kind of a quick little transition there where it's just, okay, that's it. You know, like, you're done, I'm done, and that's it. So I don't care what kind of money Callahan's making. A lot of the guys that the Rangers didn't sign over the offseason now are signing with Tampa, and they're going to it's like the Rangers part two down in Tampa now. So that's going to be fun when they come up to the Garden. But,
so I'm kind of interested to see if Marty St. Louis will stick around in New York.
He will. I think he's going to retire a Ranger, to be honest. I think he's got about 2-3 good years left to skate hard. I think he's going to stay here. He likes New York. He likes the spotlight. We got rid of some dead weight. Brad Richards is toast. Like, you're out of here. We swapped Girardi's. Swapped Boyles. Our Boyle, now we have Dan Boyle. So it's like we're making moves. We got to make sure that, you know, we have a good couple of lines around the King, who I still think is one of the best goalies in the league. I don't care what kind of series he had against L.A. There's a reason why we got there. So I think if they keep building around him, we'll be all right. So we'll see. And the Devils, yes, they have a younger and better goalie now, and now they don't have to worry about Marty and anything like that. So.
And the interesting thing is that Mark Hanny is basically gone, but in about, 10 years from now, the Devils will probably have a Brodeur as their goalie again.
Yeah, I mean, the Snyder guy's good, man, but thank you for calling
in.
In
5 to 10 years from now, they'll probably put his kid on reserve or maybe even their top goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You never know. This kid's good. He's quick, so we'll see, you know? So, but thank you again for calling in, dude. I'm going to take my first guest of the night.
Yeah, I got to go and get back to work, so.
All right, man. Have a good night at work, buddy.
Later.
All right, that was Steve. I can't ever pronounce his name, but he is officially the highest spender, according to Eric, between Bombshells and all of our shows. I think he's been at every single one. So anyway, we're going to go, And we're going to, without further ado, it's 8:30, just like on time, I am going to introduce to you one of my good friends in the wrestling business, a guy that's been taking off a little time from the ring, but definitely hitting that gym and maintaining, Mr. Ruthless Ray Smith. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, what's going on, Dave? How you feeling, bruh? It's been a long time. I should have left you. Yeah. How you feeling, man? Shoot.
Hey,
you got your own talk show, man. That's incredible.
I got to do something with the time, man. I got.
I was on hold for a minute, man. What's up with
No, but you were on hold for like 30 seconds. I had Steve on the line. He's like, I got to talk hockey. And I'm like, fuck, I can't get rid of this guy.
Yeah, well, you know, we ain't talking hockey tonight.
Because there's only about four of you guys in the NHL as it is.
Damn, you're coming at us? Hey, we still making an impact, no matter how you see it.
So what's up, man? How's the summer, bro? Like, I mean, hey, we'll get into all the stuff, but.
Summer's great, man. Honestly, I miss wrestling like hell. I'm not going to tell you no lie, you know, to all the people and everybody out there. Like, I miss what we love to do. It is killing me on an everyday notice, but at the same time, I'm in the weight room, and we're coming back, man. Shoot, that's just to answer everybody's question. We definitely coming back. It's not something that, you know, it came out of the blue. You know, we had to take care of some personal issues, but other than that, I mean, no excuses, man. We're going to bring our asses right back.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fans got a little bit of a tease at Supercard. I mean, we saw you guys enter the little battle royal. So you guys were in there doing your thing. How did that feel, man? I mean, I know you were away from the ring for a little bit prior to that, so how did it feel to get back and hear that rush of that crowd one more time?
Man, it always feels great, man. The intensity of the crowd was incredible. I know, what, 15, 16, 2,000? Goddamn, we had so many damn people in that place. They needed to show up. Whoever wasn't there missed out. I'm going to tell you that straight up. So September 20th, you know it's coming up. Everybody should know. It's definitely getting marketed out there like nobody's business. And like I said, if you're not there September 20th, you're going to be missing out. You know what I mean? Black Hollywood, PWS, everybody needs you there. So it's for your support. Come on.
So is that a spoiler alert? Are you guys, is Black Hollywood back full-time come September? What's the deal, man?
No spoiler alert. You know, nothing is set in stone just yet. But definitely the fact is that we return full-time around that time.
Good.
So
that's
just definitely know what's going to happen from there on.
For anybody listening who is listening to Ray's voice and he keeps saying, we, he's not French. He's talking about him and his tag team partner, Sean Edwards, the Black Star, my other homie. you guys, obviously, you know, since day one, you know, June 11th, 2012, we stepped in foot in that Railway Rec Center, and we just took off from there, man. It's been a journey. I fought against you. I fought with you. We've been riding together the whole time. Every after party, we're doing our thing. We're not following the crowd over to the waiting room. We were doing our thing at Big Shots, dancing, and then, you know, me trying to be as black as I possibly could. So it's been.
Come on.
So, but I mean, for those who don't know Ray or don't know the history of Ray, Ray started with me along with Sean. They right away they knew they were coming in as a tag team. I mean, that was something I wanted to do right away too. It was me and Dylan. I know you remember Dylan, and me and Dylan talked about being a tag team too. And tag team wrestling has always been my favorite. So the fact that you guys joined together. You learn together. You're learning at the same pace. I mean, it's safe to say that in the beginning you were catching on just a little quicker than Sean because I think it wasn't a complete practice until Sean said, "Oh shit," because he messed up something. So I know that.
Yo, Dave, you can't be taking shots at my partner, bro. I mean, you know, we ride together, we die together. That's how we roll, man. It's Black Hollywood for life.
You guys are literally the bad boys of PWS as far as Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. I've officially seen that
why,
in you guys.
Because I'm short of black, goddamn.
Yeah, pretty much.
How many shots
are
you gonna take?
This is Black Thursday. This is why I called it Black Thursday. It's not like it's a sale or anything like that. So.
You're
going to
have all the fans call you a racist.
Dude, I already got hate mail hitting me up and the messages like, how are you going to call your show Black Thursday? I'm like, easy, I just called it Black Thursday. And it was Arkham who was the one who was like, oh, that's perfect. Like, that's perfect. So, that guy is on okay. That guy is on another level. But
yeah,
as far
attitude,
as far as some PWS history, you know, for those of you who don't, and to share a couple stories, I guess, you know, you've been doing this. I mean, I know you're on a little bit of a break right now, and you're handling your business in other ways, but
right.
you've been with us for 2 years. If you had to pick one favorite match / moment, and if you pick the one I think you're thinking about, I'll kick your ass right where you stand. But what was your favorite moment?
You ain't gonna do shit. You know what I mean? Your leg is really hip right now. You got a hip ass leg right now. You won't be doing shit.
So, all right. So, in reality, what was your favorite moment in the first 2 years of your professional wrestling career with PWS?
Oh, you know I'm going to have to say the one and only. You know, when me and Black Star won the tag titles April 4th, you know, that's no question. You know, the greatest moment in our entire life and in our entire existence due to the fact is because we dreamed about that day. And one thing about that, you know, we worked hard. You know, it wasn't handed to us. You know, people don't realize coming into the business, I mean, we have to sacrifice everything. I don't care if it comes down to your girlfriend, to your wife, whatever. You know, it gets to that point where you're just in life, you're like, holy shit, like, you follow a dream that you had for so long as a child, and then you just grow up, and then shit just changes throughout the years of your entire life, and you'd be like, holy damn, you know what, we did it. And that's how I felt that night. That night was incredible. Supercar. Never forget
now,
that.
For those of you who don't know what he's talking about or maybe need a little quick reference, Black Hollywood was involved in a Four Corners tag team match for the tag team belts. It was Black Hollywood. It was the defending champions at the time, the Fat Pack, which was Fala and DJ Fat Pat. And it was the previous Southside Players Club, consisting of Mo Sexton and now it's Drifter Joe Hardway. And in the other corner, in that fourth corner, was probably the greatest tag team ever established. And that was Seduction.
Not to cut you off, but man, yo, let me tell you something, right? Guess who walked in the motherfucking door?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
No. You already know.
Do I got another special guest here?
You already know.
Yo, peace to the gods.
Oh, my God. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Edwards, the Black Star. What's going on, brother?
Yo, what up, man?
What up, man?
Dave?
What up, bro?
Yo,
how you been, man? Hey, you know,
I'm chilling.
I'm hanging in there, man, day by day, trying to be my own Ray Smith and just preach to myself that everything's going to be all right after all this shit, because it's not fun, but the whole process of getting better and getting back, it's exciting. So we'll, you know, take it from there.
I'm trying. We getting back here, man. I'm just trying to make this money real quick. That's all I'm trying to make, man.
No shit. I couldn't imagine. No, I couldn't even think about
it. Your boy's back on track, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Good. So because the last,
I'm making this paper, and I'm coming back. We coming back, man. Let me just tell you, bro. We coming back stronger than ever. It's gonna be crazy, bro. Black Hollywood, we not stepping off the gas pedal anymore, bro.
That's what I like to hear, bro. I mean, hey, dude, listen. On the way home today, I was going to the bank. I listened to the Black Hollywood theme song. I post on Instagram that I'm rocking the Black Hollywood shirt. I'm a fan of you guys, and you guys are my boy. And I told you since day one, you know, I need you guys back. You know, like, we need you guys back. As a school, you know, Ray is that preacher where, like, you know, he's that motivator when the drills are getting hard, and he's the one in your ear saying, you know, you got this. I mean, take it back to the time I think Ray ran the ropes for what? Well, Ray, what was it, 34 minutes, 35 minutes or something like that?
Absolutely. I'm kind of hot because, you know, lifeguard got me beat. You know, that's a challenge when I get back.
Lifeguard's on another level of everything. The kid is nuts. The kid is the future of the business, and we all know that. He's going to make a name for himself, hopefully, and that's
absolutely
great. But, so, yeah.
But yeah, 34, 35.
So this is a rant. You doing a rant episode today?
I mean, I already ranted at GMC and his ridiculous bullshit that he's deciding he wanted to pull on PWS, and he kicked out of school. He got PFAR'd. He got PFAR'd out of school. And he just, yeah, man. Wait, oh, that's right. You guys aren't aware of this because, you know, you're not in the board at the current moment. But, yeah, he's gone, brother. GMC, no longer.
Wow.
I mean, I'll talk to you guys about that shit off the air.
Yeah, off the air. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to do that to the boy. I ain't going to air his stuff out. But,
nah, I would never.
Man,
I would never.
Man, that's my... That, gosh, man.
Oh, well.
Please tell me you guys saw the announcement today made by Eric and Pro Wrestling Syndicate that we're bringing in Larry Johnson.
Yo, grandma, that is going to, yo, I am so souped to that. You know what
Dude.
I'm saying? As a kid, grandmama was a thing. Hey, what's up, Ma?
Hi, Ma. How you doing?
Yeah, Black Hollywood. We over at the family house, you know what I'm saying? We chill.
Shout out to Black Hollywood Mama. Wait, oh, my God. Is that the same mom that almost kicked my ass?
Nah, this is the other side of Black Hollywood's mama.
Okay. For anybody, all right.
My mom talks about that every day.
Yo, all right. For anybody who doesn't know the story, short story, it was our student clash.
Our first student clash, and it was me and Ray going against the Fat Pack. I'm sorry to take this story away, but.
That's
from you, but I got to tell it like this. Me and Ray were wrestling the Fat Pack, and there's no guardrails around the ring right now at PWS, but we were just, you know, having a match. I'm on the apron. Out the corner of my eye, my mother is knocking on the ring apron. You better get off my board. I'm like, what the heck?
Oh, man. Dude.
And then something else happened, and I'll let you tell that.
The rest of the story goes like this. I mean, me and Damien were trying to make an impact and trying to get our names out there in the tag team division. So our goal was to take out the Fat Pack. I slide in the ring. I try to go spear Fala. How I missed him, I have no idea. He's hard to miss. But I speared Ray out of his boots. And I left the ring. I just didn't, you know, I did the wrong thing. It was wrong on my part. And I was leaving the ring, and your mom comes up to me, legitimately 5 feet away from me, and starts swinging, saying, "Get back in there and help my boys." And I'm like, "What in the shit is going on?" I think I got to get out of here. And I just ran. I ran for the hills, man. I ran for the hills. That is
hashtag
one mom.
Ivy Jones.
That's what I want. One mom. I'm not going to mess with, man. That's just Jesus Christ.
Hey, you don't bless, you don't mess with Black Mama. <That's straight>
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I try not to mess with my own mama, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, that's a story that I'll never forget, a memory that I'll never forget. And as I've been saying before, it's like, I don't know, it's hard. It really is hard to, like, to go through this process of recovering from injury and not having you guys a part of the school. Like, it does bother me a little bit because you're a fan favorite. Everybody loves you. You guys were over on your first night. For Christ's sake, you're bringing Philadelphia Eagles there and shit. Like this is all, like, this is...
Shout out 75 real quick. Vinny Curry.
Yeah, Vinny Curry was in the crowd to watch you guys. Like, that's insane, dude.
Yo, Vinny is actually a big Larry Johnson fan, yo.
There you go. There you go. Maybe Vinny Curry shows up at PWS all fired up because he's got to meet Grandmama.
Right. You never know. You never know where he's at. So.
True.
That's all right. You already know. But, yeah, nah, it's all good, bro. Dave, like, I definitely have to commend you, man. You definitely are doing well for yourself, man. I'm glad that you're still in the weight room busting your ass. I mean, just as much as we, you know, you miss us, we miss you, you know what I mean? We miss being in the business itself. I mean, like I said, we never drawing away from it. You know, our hearts are definitely in it. You know what I mean? Shout out to all the PWS, the newcomers, you know, we didn't see there yet. I mean, all the people that's there now. I mean, of course, you know, like, just, I'm not going to name drop, but I'm just telling y'all now, like, we are coming back, and we're coming back with a freaking purpose.
All right. Well, hey, listen, I look forward to that. And Ray, and I'm actually glad Sean came on as well. I'm really happy you guys called in and I was able to speak to you guys and catch up with you guys and keep you guys not so much, quote, relevant, but keep you guys in the faces of all the fans, because once you guys come back and once you guys are doing your thing, it's on, you know, and you guys being tag team specialists and myself and Big O, and I know just announced for September, It's Craven and Devin Moore versus the Heavenly Body. So now we have another tag team in the tag team division. We have the Reynolds brothers. The tag team division, it's steep. It's deep, and it's tough. So I know both of us are going for the same thing once we're back in the line.
Damn right. You know we hungry for gold all day.
All day. But thank you guys again. We will I'm going to take the next guest who is patiently waiting
Hey, Dave. Can I get a real shout-out real quick? Yo, shout-out to all my homies, dog. We on the radio, dog. We on Dave Radio.
Yo, you have officially made this Black Thursday.
You know what I'm saying? Shout-out to all my homies. You know what I'm saying?
God.
We holding you down. You know what I'm saying? Don't mean to do this to you. Shout-out to the Hollywood gang.
Hey,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? All the fans out there, the Hollywood gang, shout out to y'all, man.
Just don't get me shot. That's all I ask. Just don't get me shot. I don't care who you shout out. Just don't be like, this guy's throwing up gang symbols. This is where he lives.
No gang sign, man. I am so crazy. No gang signs right now. I ain't going to throw up the set right now.
Thank God. All right. Well, again, guys, I'll talk to you guys soon, obviously. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk, obviously, after the show, and we'll catch up. Actually, what are you guys doing on Saturday night? You guys busy?
Oh, Saturday night. I don't know. I might be.
Saturday night, remember, you know Shining Wizards Eddie, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's playing in a cover band, his 10-year, like, reunion little band thing up in Nutley. Nutley's about, I guess, well, you guys are a little farther south. Nutley, New Jersey. He's going, I can't remember, goddamn, I can't remember the name of the place. Clinton Inn, or, no, that's not it. I forget the name. I'll get it later. But if you guys aren't doing anything.
Let me know, man.
Yeah, definitely. I will let you guys know. I'll hit you guys up, and you guys can join us, and we'll go from there. And we'll catch up some more, all right?
Just Instagram me, bro.
Instagramming, holy shit. What's this world coming to? All right, man, I'll talk to you guys later.
Later,
Hollywood.
Holla.
All right, that was Black Hollywood. Now on to, from Black Hollywood, without even taking a breath, from Black Hollywood to the blackest of the black, ladies and gentlemen, I give to you Arkham Atu, my man, what's up?
I, myself, am the son of Satan, although my duties here are largely ceremonial. Hello, I'm Doomsday Jesus.
Doomsday Jesus, my man, holy shit, glad to have you on. I've watched all your shares, like you shared my status a couple times today. Where on earth do you come up with this shit, bro? I need to know, like, what's in the diet that makes your mind go this way? Like, I have no idea where you come up with this shit.
I mean, not to quote myself at the risk of sounding redundant, but that's my America. I'm just a product of my environment, and my environment is fucked to hell.
Okay, well, for those of you who don't know this guy, he is known as Arkham on the PWS stage. He is known now as Doomsday Jesus. He is known as Jesus Christ. He's got so many hashtags, I can't only imagine how many. But two, bro, for those who are uneducated and don't know your past because they see these posts and they say, where the hell is this guy from? Who in the hell is this guy? And including myself, because I've heard a lot of stuff about you, of where you've worked beforehand, but at least tell the two story. Tell the Atu story. Tell the Arkham story. When, like, nobody needs to know your age now, but how long ago did you start? Where did you start? And why are you one of the hot commodities now and weren't when you started? You know what I mean? Like, kind of inform the people.
Well.
Perfect little hawk there. Good job.
Basically, I am a product, and I came from my father's penis. After that, that's when we all motherfuckers shit, you know? Shit. Between that and let me give props to the illustrious and most honorable Michael Keener. If it wasn't for him, I would have never learned psychology. I would be bumping monkey, which is not good for the business or anyone in general. But pretty much I filled in obscurity with dealing with a lot of bullshit, as you were fortunate, Dave, because you started at the top with a Pat Buck at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Coming across a Pat Buck myself also helped me grow and turned my mind on in ways in which it hadn't been before to understand this art form, this incredible medium that we call professional wrestling.
So exactly where did you, I mean, before you discovered PWS, where were you working? Because I know you, it's not like you came to that tryout and said, you know, I'm the, not, this is my first day. You know what I mean? Like, where were you before this? Why didn't the world know about you beforehand?
Well, because like I kind of just said, basically I had like been hopping around from school to school, and I'm not here to put anybody on blast. Although, you know, none of what I will be saying will be like necessarily in jest or work. It will be real and as much as a shoot as possible. But I'm not trying to kill anybody and bury anybody. But the motherfuckers that didn't teach me jack shit or, you know, give me a spot on the card when I was around, they knew who they are, and they could fucking eat a dick and die. But aside from that, there was a bunch of companies around in 2008 that I, you know, I was there doing my thing, bump, 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 bump. They couldn't bump me the fuck enough. God forbid they fucking once mentioned psychology and comprehension of why and where we're doing certain moves and shit so I can fucking actually tell a goddamn motherfucking story up in this bitch.
Okay. Well, so clearly you were is it easy to say that you were jobbing, like, for no reason whatsoever?
Well, yeah, which is, that's okay. I got no problem. I mean, it is a job in the end anyway. I got no problem with that, but tell me why and let the job have a fucking purpose and a goddamn motherfucking meaning and shit. Let there be a fucking angle or some kind of a thread of a storyline that you can weave throughout the entirety of the year and shit, instead of just like, hey, look, my cousin's showing up, so let's throw him on the fucking show too, and now you're in a seven man, which makes no fucking sense. So I did a bunch of that bullshit for a while. No one telling me how to operate and manipulate my size as a big man. And then enter Mike Keener. But right before Mike Keener, I was training with Teddy Fine, who was an awesome dude. But once again, I believe his mind is so creative that he had me doing high spots and crazy shit once you realize the level of athleticism that I actually have and my vertical and all that type of shit. Fucking around on a goddamn fracture on my neck doing standing 450 slingshots, fucking splashes and shit on the outside of the fucking ring. So Keener came around and was like, dude, what are you doing, stupid? That's not how it's done. And when that happened, maybe, I don't know, whatever year that fucking was, that's when all the lights came on. That's when I started to understand and really, truly began to appreciate the sport, because it's not just about the athleticism that's required. It's about, you know, the fucking mental comprehension, man.
Fucking A. And if, folks, if your kids are listening for whatever reason, I'm sorry. But they shouldn't be anyway.
Oh,
39
shit.
O'clock.
Yeah, let
no.
me...
I'm kidding, man. I knew this.
I will turn down a bit.
I knew this was going to happen, and that's what I wanted. I wanted all this. I wanted to hear the story. So, all right, so you're doing your thing. You're starting to learn the psychology. In come PWS tryout. And in come the light bulbs going off in Matthews' head and Buck's head, and they're like, we can use this guy. And in come and start of Arkham. And this guy made his debut, kicked the shit out of everybody that was in his sight, and he did his thing. And for a couple months, you were causing and raining havoc on Kevin Matthews. And you almost forced the guy to retire, for Christ's sakes. I mean, he said if he couldn't beat you in March, that it was over for him. He was tired of this shit. He was tired of not being able to beat you. And then in come the dog collar match, which I was watching vividly, and I've watched it on DVD, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, these guys are out of control. But I guess from PWS is another launching pad. Do you find yourself now in more of a need to work other places as well? Like, I feel like, all right, let's call a spade a spade. On Black Thursday.
oh, hey, oh, oh. Push monkeys.
What's it called? We got the Monster Factory, where I know there's big things going on down there. I'm not going to try to promote their school or anything like that, but I see Blue Meanie train down there. I'm seeing you go down there and do your thing. And then just recently, this past, or I think it was a week ago, what is the deal with this Sanctuary thing, man? Like, I see pictures, I see videos. You guys actually worked in a church, is that right?
Oh, I am so glad that you brought up the Sanctuary. But before I get to the House of Doom, the Church of Doomsday Jesus, let me just give a fucking special acknowledgement and all respect and praises due to fucking Mr. Pat Buck, because he was easily the first that said, why is this man swirling around in obscurity? Why is no one utilizing his talents? Why is no one shaping and molding him? All the fucking tools. He has all the tools. Why is no one used? Shit, I was with this one company. They were pretty big. They had me as the goddamn fucking Virgil and shit. I was just walking dudes to the fucking ring left and right. So,
Pat
Buck had the wherewithal to say, hey, you can do this and you can do that. So, oh, you're really good at doing this. Add that. You should always do this as part of your match type of thing. And he really, I can't give that dude fucking enough props and shit. So, Pat Buck was learning, like you said, with PWF, that alone, you know, I could butter my bread with that shit. Cause that's just like being able to perform on that level with those type of storylines and that type of a talent, you know, telling a roster, I'm good to go. But, like, as you know, there's more than one way to run into a burning building. So, enter the Monster Factory. They're fucking awesome. When I go to fucking roll around with those guys, they have guest guys come in like Rhett Titus and QT Marshall that have given me great advice that I actually apply now in the ring. I'll just pick their brains during a session and say, hey, if you were my size, what would you do? What would your moveset be? And they throw something at me. I give it a shot. If I like it and it looks brutal, then I use it on the show and see if it works. So, on to the Sanctuary. The first inaugural show this past Sunday, July 13th, it was, oh, so exquisite. I was so fucking nervous. I took like 24 fucking shits before I came to the curtain and whatnot. I was probably fucking, you know, it was unbelievable. I couldn't, because I was nervous to shit for PWS's supercard, rightfully so, but it was something about the first ever event for a company that I know is going to be huge and shit, like a PWS. So I was just, and I wanted to carry, you know, my weight and make sure I lived up to the hype that Mr. Trotsky believes me to be able to do. So that's a tremendous thing. And by the way, the second official Sanctuary show in Hazleton, Pennsylvania is August the 17th in our church.
I think I'm gonna check that show out. I actually talked to this Trotsky guy. That guy, you talk about a mind for the business. I mean, he's a very interesting character. I mean, I didn't know, obviously nobody knew that he was behind, well, some people might have known that he was behind the Angry Wrestling Vet that's on Facebook. And he, like, holy shit, man. Like, the shit he would spew on that alone was mind-blowing. And I was like, God damn, like, he's right with a lot of shit that he says. But now...
Exactly, and that's why... I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead.
Man, it's your show. Finish your thought, brother.
No, I was just saying, and now he's come from behind the Angry Wrestling Vet thing, and he's got his own thing going on, like this Sanctuary thing. It caught my attention, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. Like, I know TDS, Gus was talking about it, and then Damien had said he's booked. And then all of a sudden I see this promo poster, and I see your mug on there with Damien and Bowens, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? What is this shit? So then I started looking into it, and then I'm seeing pictures. And now I'm seeing guys like Janela, and I'm seeing Too Hot Steve Scott. And so obviously this guy has done the right recruiting and bringing in some of the bigger names on the indie scene to spark his first show. And, I mean, I don't know the crowd. I mean, how was the crowd? Was there a lot of people? Like, did it draw? Like, or was it more for production value?
It was a very good crowd, to which I was quite surprised, because – you know, with any kind of an upstart, you know, company or whatever, it's first time out, you don't know who's going to be fucking sitting on their hands and go, I'm coming to the show, maybe I'm not because I'm a bitch, you know. So I was surprised people actually weren't fucking being lazy. And they came out. It was a really good crowd. It was an interesting crowd, but it was a really good crowd. I think they were just trying to digest the product and a lot of the new characters, because Hazleton is a little bit off the beaten path, not necessarily in the middle of fucking, you know, New York or some shit. So it's like, you know, people have to adjust. But once again, like you said, it's a testament to Pro Wrestling Syndicate and Pat Buck's ability to turn quality athletes with quality psychology, like Gibbs and Bowens and fucking the Hell, Billy Bull Jones, you know, and fucking everybody else, that they're on the, you know, main fucking core members of the Sanctuary now. And it was a pleasure. It made the fucking locker room environment so much more comfortable and awesome because I had my PWS brothers there. So the show, it went well. It was great. At least the production value was off the hook. The storylines, the angles. This is only the beginning. This is like a fucking dry run, but it still was fucking, it was a wet dry run. The shit was fucking awesome.
Dude, I saw, like, I think it was like a minute-long video or something. I think Bowens, you might have even shared it, too. I looked at it. I was like, oh, this looks pretty fucking cool. Now, all right. Now I know that you have your gimmick, okay, and it's, you know, and you have lived it completely to the fullest, and it's not like it's a character because it is a way of life.
Gimmick?
Yeah, exactly. Not even close to a gimmick.
I'm sitting here talking to you right now, butt-ass naked, after I just got done pissing in a fucking jug. This is not a gimmick.
What is with the piss jug? I don't understand. Are you just that lazy that you want to go to the bathroom, or do you drink it back? Like, what do you?
I got time for that shit.
Yeah, nobody's got time to go to the bathroom. Nah, screw that. But okay, now here's a question that just came in from Facebook, and it's actually intriguing that we're talking about the Sanctuary. There was a guy that went against Steve Scott. The guy looked like he had like a skull painted on his face. I don't know what the hell that guy was. He looked like a monster. You know, he looked like this. Just again, hard to explain. But as far as your face paint is concerned, do you have any kind of inspiration behind it? You know what I mean? Like, it's awesome. It always matches your gear. Like, it's cool shit. But is there any kind of? I mean, it's not the Ultimate Warrior. It's not Hawker Animal. It's different. You know what I mean? So, is there anything behind it? Or you just said, give me a paintbrush. I'm gonna see what I can do and see what's up.
Well, firstly, thank you very much, Dave, for that compliment about my face, as I like to call it. It took quite some time to come up with the motherfucking design. It was a bitch. But before I go on to me, let me go back to Skull Boy, the guy you were talking about, big-ass motherfucker, tatted up, six skull paint on his face, walking around like creeping death and demolishing everything in this fucking sight. That was the debut of a member of the roster named Cursed. Not with a C, but with a K. K-U-R-S-E-D. And I got something for his ass.
Well, okay.
Back
well,
to
shit.
Me. Yeah, whatever. But that's not, you know, the clock's ticking, dude. But back to me and my paint and my beautiful face. It was just something that once again, Pat Buck, he was like, yo, man, you know, we want to enhance your character, help you reach your full potential and so forth and so on. And he was like, hey, well, would you be against painting your face? I'm like, motherfucker, well, against it? Let me see. Let me think. Oh, that's right. When I was 14 years old and got jumped by three guys with baseball bats and I could have ran easily and gotten away, I decided, no, I'm going to stand my ground, run into them, charge them, because the first thought in my mind was, what would World Warrior Hawk do? Snatch on danger and dying on death. And I have a crooked tooth to this day because of that shit. But that's how the fuck I do. So basically the inspiration was the Road Warriors. I took a lot of their ideas. And I took a lot of the ideas from the Ultimate Warrior also, as far as bright, vibrant colors. And, you know, I read a shit ton of comic books. I'm a legitimate fanboy. So between, like, you know, a combination of all the most colorful characters you can imagine and all the blackness that's inside of my soul, trying to just regurgitate it on my face, and then there you go.
That is perfect. That is perfect, dude. And you're a big Hawk guy, and I'm a huge, huge Road Warriors guy. I was the first one to buy the book. I was the first one to get the DVD. Like, those are that was one of my favorite teams growing up. Those guys are monsters. And I noticed that I think you liked my picture on Instagram today. I see that you saw me and Big O have stolen the Doomsday device. And
dude, I was sick as shit. I never knew that. Dude, shit, that was cool as hell.
Nice. Yeah, man. We're calling it the power line because of the powers of destruction. So it's like a line, a power line. Yeah, it all makes sense. But yeah, it was funny because when me and, you know, I was talking to Buck and I said, well, we need a finisher. He's like, well, I don't know. What about this? What about that? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, what about the Doomsday device? And I'm like, really? I was like, we can use that? He's like, no, nobody else is using it. I mean, you obviously know who made it famous. But like, he goes, nobody really is doing it anymore. I was like, oh, shit, I never thought about that. So now I'm thinking, like, I talked to O. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to be the base. I'll lift the guy on the shoulders. You go to the top rope. He goes, nah, bro, I'm not going up. You go up. I'm like, what do you mean I go up? I'm like, I'm 240 fat pounds, brother. Like, there's no way I'm getting my not limber ass up on the top rope. He's like, no, you could definitely do it. And I was like, all right. So we practiced it once before the show, once. And that was like,
wow.
Yeah. And then we're live. We're you know, doing our match, and it calls for it. He's telling me, he's like, get up. And now I got, you know, 600-700 fans yelling at me while I'm trying to get my balance on the top rope. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this isn't happening. I'm going to fall. It's over. I'm done. And I launched as high as I could possibly launch it, but it doesn't look like I have a good hang time. But knowing that O was supposed to bump with it, and he didn't, and little hash brown landed on his fucking neck, I thought I killed the guy. I honestly thought I killed him, and I'm like, oh, shit. I apologized to Hash for like 3 weeks after that, because he's like, Dave, my neck, it's hurt. I don't know. It's kind of it feels wrong. So I was like, oh shit. I heard this guy. So yeah. Oh, so sorry shit. Again, Hash. But dude, so now, all right. So you got the Sanctuary Part 2 coming up. You got the Monster Factory show on Saturday, correct? You know who you're working, or you're
this Saturday, I will be up doing St. Jesus in full effect at the Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. Come on out and see me if you give a fuck.
So that's actually kind of closer to where you're from, right? So it's not a long train ride or whatever it is?
Dude, I'm not from anywhere and shit. I'm like I got kind of stated earlier on Facebook, I'm in the space in between the cracks and shit, man.
I believe it, too, now. Officially believe it. So you got the Monster Factory coming up. You got, obviously, PWS in September. You are holding your own,
oh,
bro.
My
you're
God,
doing
dude,
your thing.
What's that?
That's what I'm saying. You're holding your own. You're doing your thing. You're around. You're just marketing yourself just the way you should as an independent wrestler. But more importantly, I would call you an inspiration, but I think that's kind of wrong considering the shit that you post online every day. But you got to give somebody some kind of feedback as far as what in the hell are you eating or what are you doing to look the way you do. I know the obvious people are going to say he's got needles coming all over this guy's fucking shoulders and delts and this and that, but it's not right, right? It tests these nuts, right? Like, tell the people what the hell you're doing and how can I learn, because Jesus Christ, I mean, I would kill to look the way you do.
Well, it's, you know, all that glitters ain't gold and shit, you know, it's just, you know, and a lot of it's just pro wrestling and sports entertainment. A lot of it is like, you know, taking what you have and showcasing it in the proper way, learning how to use your illusion. But as far as what I eat, you cats could go onto my YouTube channel there. It's called Arkham. It's under Arkham right now. At some point, I'm going to switch it to Atu Arkham, but Arkim. And check out Dining with Doomsday. I believe there's 3 episodes more to come, but I've been just busy enough not to roll another episode out. But go on my YouTube channel. I have a few episodes of Dining with Doomsday. That's me. And it shows and details basically what I eat, which really isn't a lot. I'm more of a shake guy because I don't have a stove or a microwave. But that's another story. And as far as all the speculation, he's got a needle coming out of his ass. He's in the gas and growth and English. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's quaint is what that is. Because that's like equating an intelligent person to being on a fucking super pill for his brains. That's fucking bullshit. And that's the problem with fucking today's society. No one believes in shit, and no one knows how to fucking reach and sacrifice to hit their fucking full potential and shit. And if you motherfuckers will fucking stop hanging out at the goddamn McDonald's and at the goddamn bar and stay goddamn focused, you too can be a doomsday Jesus.
Well, there you have it. I knew it was coming. And that's great, dude. I mean, shit, I'm inspired. I mean, today, for instance, I've eaten nothing besides a couple protein shakes and my Jack 3D and all that sorts of shit, which I'm excited about. Have you ever worked out on that shit? Do you take a pre-workout or not? Do you believe
I used to do the Jack 3D a lot, too. Lately, I've just been straight up just taking like a handful of caffeine pills. I'm trying to cut back on doing so many pre-workout drinks because they do have a lot of fillers and other things, so I'm trying to just cut right to the chase. Take, you know, about 600, 800 milligrams of caffeine tablets and watch, you know, and then, you know, go to temple. Well, I used to do that and mix it with a pre-workout because you're not living until you're dying and shit. But
no,
right now,
dying.
I'm trying to shock my body.
Oh, what's you're that? Shocking it, all right. I said, you're definitely dying because, my God, dude, are you kidding me? Bro, I take, I think the Jacked is like maybe 200 or something like that, 200, 300 milligrams of caffeine. And, like, and my, I also on a diet pill, I think the Shred Matrix I take through Muscle Farm. And that doesn't even fucking come close to what you're taking in as caffeine. Bro, you got to have the fastest heart rate in the history of people. Like, my God.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, I mean, it'll probably lead to an untimely death, much like World Warrior Hulk. But basically what it all comes down to is it's a means to an end. I have goals. I have one love in my life, and that's goddamn professional wrestling. And I would do anything within reason to be the best that I can be at it personally. So even though I wake up every day and go to the gym, and I don't want to go to the gym, even though I go to bed every night and I don't want to wake the fuck up, I just keep doing what the fuck I'm doing because I know in the end nothing makes me happier than being in a squared circle. So fuck it.
There you go, man. And I think honestly it's a weird world now in professional wrestling where guys are getting signed in the later stages of life. And I'm not going to lie. When I first started wrestling, I was 20. The hell was I? 20, what am I now? 28? I was 26 at orientation. And I thought that was too old. I said, dude, I'm 26. Like, and I told Pat, I was like, am I too old for this? I'm turning 27. You know, what's the deal? And then when Miggs was still around, he was already 30, I think. And a couple guys were in their 30s. And I'm like, are we too old for this? And he's like, all right, let's take that age and let's apply it to the guys on TV. And that's when Brodus Clay just debuted, who was, by the way, booked for September 20th, that monstrosity. He's over 40 years old. He's over 40 years old. Some of the guys on TV that look like they're in the best shapes of their lives are over 40. So in due time, I firmly believe that if you stick doing with your stuff, there's no reason why somebody doesn't catch on to this myth, this legend there is of you, because you've been through the grinder. You know, you said you were doing things in 2008, meaning you've been around for 6-7 years. You know, you've been through the shit, you've been through the bad times, and now I believe you're at your peak right now. You're peaking. You're on a roll. So I guess keep doing what you're doing. If nobody's going to turn a blind eye. So, good luck.
It's funny how you mentioned someone's going to notice me and dot, 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 and whatever. Several people have. People that matter to me more than, look, we all want to be on fucking TV and pay-per-view and, you know, the ultimate type of a production and, you know, the WWE. Yeah, I got it. I know. And that's how it was when I first started. I was like, WWE, WWE, blah, 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 gee. And that's because, yeah, whatever. But as I am learning the sport of professional wrestling, I don't give a fuck right now. And with all due respect, I'd rather just fuck, as long as I can be good to my sport, as long as I'm an asset, as long as when I step through those ropes, I'm not setting the sport back 20 fucking years, I don't give a fuck who fucking signs me or how much fucking money I make. As long as my peers respect me, as long as when I stop doing this, which hopefully I can do it forever, but as long as I am doing this and I'm doing it the right way, the way that the fans don't throw down their tickets, walk out saying, this ain't professional wrestling, why do I pay for this shit? As long as I'm giving the people what they want, the sport what it wants, the sport what it deserves, quality, entertainment, and athleticism, I don't give a fuck where I go from here. Because as far as I'm concerned, Pro Wrestling Syndicate is the WWE. The Monster Factory is the WWE. The Sanctuary, Wrestling's Last Hope, is the WWE. I am good as gold with these fucking three companies. Anything aside from that, Victory Pro Wrestling, Premier Wrestling Federation, I love them. I love them all. I wouldn't be with them if I didn't love them. And that is, I'm never content, but I'm more than happy with fucking plying my trade with these companies.
That's good, man. I said the same thing, and people kind of frowned at me when I said that. I used to say, listen, you know, PWS, that might be my WWE. I may never make it. Who knows? Maybe I don't have the build. Maybe I don't have the drive. Maybe I don't have the speed. I don't know what the fuck they're looking for nowadays. It's so back and forth. So when I'm at PWS and there's 1,600 to almost 2,000 people chanting my name or cheering me or booing me. It's like, I think I made it. I think I feel like this was the goal, and this was the goal I set forth for myself to be somebody. You know, I know it's PWS, and I know that we don't have a television contract, and we don't have pay-per-view, and we don't have a network yet. I say yet a lot. You see, dude, you exactly. know it firsthand. You see it firsthand. This place is like PWS, and I don't know what the Sanctuary is doing yet, and Monster Factory. I don't know what they're doing, but it could be. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not – we are totally not out of the, like, out of the blue when we say this, or not totally out of our minds when we say that these companies – are the Omega for us. And it could be. Who knows, man? Like, you don't know. So I think what you're doing is right, and you're doing it because you love it. And there's no reason behind me trying to come back if I didn't love it. You know what I mean? Like, if I said, okay, you know what? I had my memories. It was all good. I'm really happy this happened, and I'm done. I injured my ACL, and I'm fucked. What am I supposed to do now? You know, but now I got to focus on getting a job, and, you know, and, like, the shoot stuff, you know, like the real life shit.
Right.
But at the same time, I have to prove to myself, and this is going to come off to the other people like, oh, I can't believe he's actually considering this, but I got a lot more to prove to myself, just like you're proving to yourself time and time again. I got a lot more to prove to myself that I can come back from an injury, as shitty as it is, and really, like, just fucking dominate again and do as much as I possibly can to entertain the 2,000 people that come out. And, you know, I know it's not TV, but I don't give a shit. And I know you don't give a shit either, because right now you feel like you made it to the Omega. You know, like, this is our time.
Yes, yes.
So I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but so.
No, but, you're not going to appreciate, you know, you set up with your injuries, because when motherfuckers had me doing a fucking standing 450 splashes and breaking my goddamn neck for no fucking reason, I've been laid out for 6 to 8 months type of thing and shit. So I feel your pain on that, and you do get depressed, but you do get to that point where you just want it so badly that you kill yourself to get back. And sometimes a little bit of separation goes a long, long way. It fucking creates clarity and helps you see things in the broader, bigger picture and shit. So when you do come back, you appreciate it more. You're hungrier, and like I said, you almost appreciate it more, because when I came back after an injury, I think I was able to learn better, because I wasn't as uptight about, I have to get this right, or I have to be the best, or I have to do this, and I have to be that. I was just happy to be back in the fucking ring, man. I didn't give a fucking shit. So it kind of loosened me up and allowed my brain to become more of a sponge, because I wasn't so tightly wound about, I have to be this and shit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. It's going to be, and it has given me time to just reflect and kind of make sure I got the whole life in perspective right now before I can push for this. I'm getting in better shape. I'm getting stronger. You know what I mean? Like, I got time. I got time on my hands now. So I'm doing that. And you know, it's guys like you, and it's guys like stories. Like, I know Mike Dell had a broken back. I know Kevin Matthews is, like, standing on two bionicle knees right now. You know what I mean? So these guys have made their sacrifices. They've gone through the bullshit. And I'm proud to say that I'm taking a little bit from everybody and applying it to my everyday fucking reconstruction of destruction, my man. I'm on the prowl, and I can't wait to get back. And one day our paths will cross, and I'll go one-on-one with the Doomsday Jesus. How does that sound?
But that's going to be a fucking delightfully, frightfully good time. And I do, and I must say, I have seen your training pics in the gym and so forth, man. And you look good. Like, you haven't missed a day. Like you rebounded fast as shit. Fucking arms look big, your shoulders, your traps, everything looks full, like a fucking coiled spring ready to fucking pounce and attack somebody, rip their goddamn heads off. So
absolutely.
Stay on track, consistency kills, man. You will win if you're consistent.
Absolutely. Brother, it's been a fucking awesome interview. I'm glad I had you on. This is exactly what I wanted out of this. I needed to learn a little bit about you and where you're going and what your goals are, and I think I nailed everything, man, and it's been a pleasure for you to come on. And before you, it was Black Hollywood for a little while, so this has sincerely been a Black Thursday here on Thursday Night Destruction. Atu, my man, I will talk to you, and thank you again for your time, bro.
Dave, may I say one thing in closing?
Go for it.
Dreams. Dreams don't mean shit. Dreams change. It is the passion behind them that counts. It is the passion that will give you an eternal erection for life. So dream on, bitch.
Dreaming on, exactly. Two, we'll talk shortly, man. everybody. I'm sure that was probably one of the most fucking entertaining interviews I've ever had personally. So thank you for that, my man.
Thank you for having me, Dave. And keep training. You look good, bro.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Later.
Folks, if that wasn't the best interview I've ever done or anything like that, that man, he's not just a – he's a machine. He is a machine. He's a monster. It's everything that's right about pro wrestling, the passion, the drive, the diet, I'd say the tan, but he's got that down to a science. So I'll take a few calls. I only got a couple minutes. I mean, people say, oh, you can go overtime. Well, I don't want to go overtime, and I haven't eaten dinner yet today, so I'm, like, starving myself. So caller, 278 number, what's up?
Hey, Dave, it's Christine.
Hey, what's up there, Friesendorf?
Oh, what's going on, Destruction?
No, I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah, no, I just get out of work, sitting in my car before I head home. So I was listening to Mr. Arkham. That's one cool dude.
Very interesting character, is he not?
I think he's awesome. Kathy and I have been trying so hard to get a hold of him. I know from what he said, he pops for our signs, and I really was like wanted to ask him about it at one point. See, I never get to see him.
Oh, I'm sure the show starts. Shoot Doomsday Jesus a message on Facebook, and I'm sure he'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So
another good thing is my team, my store is having a softball team, and I got to go on it, so I get to play again next week.
All right,
so it's
nice.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah. So how are you feeling?
I'm getting there. Day by day, it's getting better. It's getting easier. I'm walking and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, it's good you're standing upright and everything, so that's good.
Exactly.
It's always good. Now, I've seen your pictures. You're looking good. You know, look like you haven't missed a step, really.
I'm doing the best I can, and that's all I got to do right now. You know what I mean? Like, as of right now, I still can't get to work. So might as well hit the gym and hit it hard as I can. So
I know how you feel about the work thing, that's for sure. I've been there, done that.
Yeah, so.
Trust me, I'm like, I'll let you go. I wanted to just say hello, and I know
that
people want to go say hi and everything. Just want to show you my support and everything. Anytime,
absolutely.
You got it.
Check out the new shirt, by the way. I'm sure people are going to
be interested
in that.
Are you going to have it available, like, in September?
I think so. I mean, there might be a couple tweaks I can use to it, but that was like the little prototype that I was thinking. I was like, you know what?
I like it. It's really cool. I saw it today. I have Wi-Fi at my job. I checked it out, and I saw it's really cool. I like it. So hopefully
cool.
By my birthday, you'll have it.
There you go. All right, Christine.
It's
will you have a nice
thing,
night?
Right?
Yep,
you too.
Absolutely. Bye. All right, sweetie. Bye. All right, Christine Friesendorf. That's one of the sign girls, one of our good fans. About 6 minutes left. 788 number, I think. I memorized this one by chance. I'm not sure. Caller, what's going on?
Usually I'm the first caller, but this time you saved the best for last.
Jay, you got about 4 minutes, so go for it. What's up, dude?
Not too much. I will say this. I've obviously listened to every one of your shows. This, by far, was my favorite.
Oh, it was mine too, and I'm going to say that right after the show, and as I, you know, repost and replug and try to get people to download and listen. This is definitely my favorite show, between talking and catching up with my boys at Black Hollywood to learning the history of the animal that is Arkham. So that was pretty badass.
that it was, and I liked that. Where did he come from? I came from my father's penis.
Yeah, that was right when that happened. I kind of knew which direction that interview was going to go in, so it was definitely fun. I had a good time with him. He educated the shit out of me. I didn't know half the shit he was telling me, but he's on the rise. And he's on the rise, and he's one of these big guys that I'm surprised he hasn't got a call. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. It could be his age. It could be his size. I have no idea what the hell they're looking for anymore. But you heard it from me. PWS and these big companies that are getting established, that is our WWE. That is our making it. We really do feel and believe in that product enough to say that this is what we got into this shit for. And, you know, I'm on board with him, man. I'm the same way.
Absolutely. And not for nothing, Dave Bautista was 40 when he started in the WWE.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
And I don't know how old Arkham is, But the way that man leapfrogs, he could leapfrog probably over the Big Show.
He leapfrogged over two men that were next to each other. So imagine how high you have to get. It was at one of the student shows, if you remember. I don't know. It's kind of freakish. I don't know where he gets it from. It's funny because as he says that, I was like, I got to get more limber. I understand I'm putting on size, but I actually have to start learning how to bend better. So I actually got contacted today by a friend of mine who I haven't spoke to in a while, and I think I'm going to start with like some Pilates or yoga or something. Like I've heard good things about it, and my ass needs to get flexible if I'm going to get back in that ring anytime soon. So how did the show go last night? I listened to the beginning and I listened to the end. I wasn't able to catch all of it, but I will, obviously. I always listen to you and a select few other podcasts. So how'd it go? Everything went all right?
I killed it last night, Dave. I came back. I followed my notes. I followed the advice you, Eddie, and Silva gave me, and I knocked it out of the park.
That's great, man. I'm really happy for you. I'm glad, I told you, man. It was just a couple things you had to, pinpoint and really catch up on. And, it's great, dude. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, and Giancarlo is actually messaging me out and saying, yes, you did kill it last night.
Giancarlo, my
friend. Knocked it out of it.
Giancarlo, my friend, I know you're listening. You don't have to call in. I only have a couple more minutes anyway. I know you're listening, but we will chat about what we will do with Mr. GMC and the Tri-State title because it's going to happen, and they're going to be shocked, and it's going to be great, and maybe I'll bring it to the next PWS show or something, or sell that shit on eBay and pay back all the guys that Banner stiffed. But anyway.
No, I think you should steal the title and present it to Pat Buck like you said you were going to earlier in the...
I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, you didn't lose. come on, let's call a spade a spade. Like, you didn't lose the damn title.
Apparently Sanjay lost it to another contender.
Another contender, yeah. How great was that? But, oh well. But, all right, Jay, man, I'm going to wrap this shit up, and thank you again for listening and being as patient as you were this week. I know last week was easy. You're like fucking, you were my co-host last week. So, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep, keep positivity and all that shit. And I know you checked out the new shirt, and I know you liked it, so I will be getting you a special size for yourself, and we'll make sure that gets done.
Thank you, kind sir. And I definitely, either Team Destruction or Reconstruction of Destruction, I think either one of them would fit perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I've been hashtagging Reconstruction of Destruction forever, so I might as well keep going, right?
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man.
All righty. Take care.
Awesome. All right, well, that's J.P. Mayer. You can tune into his show. It's called An Independent Point of View. Give him a little plug. My other plugs, obviously, go check out the Shining Wizard Network and all their shows. Go check out 2.5 Wrestlers. Go check out the Pat Buck Show. Check out all wrestling podcasts, like Colt Cabana, everybody, man. They're awesome to listen to. They're great. I know Stone Cold's got one. And podcasts are fun, man. They don't necessarily have to have a format. You just sit there and you talk. I'm talking into a mic for an hour and a half. I can interview all my friends. I can get you guys' names out there to anybody that's listening. Today I looked, there was over 5,000 downloads since day one. So that means somebody's listening, right? I mean, not necessarily they can have bad things to say. They have good things to say. I really don't care. But either way, it's fun. It's fun for me. It's something to do. And, that's that. I'm having a good time doing it. And, I'll just keep doing it, right? Like, I just, there's no reason to stop. I mean, once I get better, obviously, yeah. So, with that being said, this Saturday, go check out Shining Wizards Eddie. Add him on Facebook. Go check him out. I finally got the name of the place. It's the Old Canal Inn in Nutley, New Jersey. I think he's going on around 9. Get there early. Get a good seat. Eat, drink, hang out with Destruction. Hang out with a couple of the other PWS guys. Support this guy. He puts together all the videos and all the crazy, awesome packages and shit. And he does it. He's behind us the whole way. So go support him. Go support independent wrestling. Go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Get your tickets for September, October, November, December, whenever the hell they're all on sale. Get them now because, shit, you better. I mean, I'm telling you, you cannot miss these shows. Till next week, we'll talk again. I'll talk to you guys later.